This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Thingy.
Yeah, I'm going to do it now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the match preview. Today we'll be discussing the Palace away game at Anfield to Liverpool. Remember, please, if you're watching, to like and subscribe. If you are listening, download the pod, leave us a thumbs up, 5-star rating. I'm joined today by Nick and Luke. Luke, first time meeting you. Nice to meet you, Luke. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Nice to meet you. Good as well. I'm good. I'm feeling positive. So yeah, great. We'll see.
And Nick, my friend, how are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. I had a heavy weekend. I missed the Man City game because I've been getting neuropathy in my feet, which means I can't walk about for much. So Man City was either go to the game or go to a gig in the evening. And I went to a gig in the evening and I haven't been able to walk since. So it's unlike me to miss the match, but it's, you know, that's how bad it's getting. Plus, I thought we'd lose about 6-0.
It's funny you said that about not being able to walk. On Sunday, I played golf in the morning and I played football in the evening. And then Monday, I couldn't walk at all.
Damn.
So I know what you mean by not being able to walk.
And was it worth Tuesday? Do you find it's worth 2 days after than one day after?
No, actually, by Tuesday, I was okay. And I guess today, as the recording, we are recording this on a Wednesday, I'm actually fine today. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You can go play football again.
Yeah. I played golf a little bit today, a little practice. Anyway, we had the match reaction after the Man City game. If you haven't seen it yet, Nick was on with Hambo. Great job by both of you. But I want to get your thoughts on the game. Not yours, Nick, you're on. But Luke, what were your thoughts about the Man City match?
After the game, I actually felt quite positive. I think a lot more people would have felt more positive as well if Luton didn't get that win later on in the day. I think actually the post-match reaction of Palace was quite good. We scored a couple of goals. We scored early. Yes, we did concede 4 goals, but it is Man City. But yeah, overall, it felt like you can see positive changes in the way we're playing, see some confidence in a few more players. The signings from January look really good under the new system. And hopefully that means we're going to get some points before the end of the season. I can't see us losing all 7. So, you know, more positive than I was a few weeks ago, for sure.
Yeah, I have to say, man, I watched that game back again. Kevin De Bruyne is on another level as a football player. Yeah. He was amazing. And to think he didn't play yesterday. In their Champions League game, and they still were able to, you know, get the draw away because they had Phil Foden played instead of him. It was amazing. Yeah. It really is. So I know people at the end of that match were upset, like you, Luke. I thought about it and I said to myself, they're just so good. To get anything out of that game would have been really difficult. That's the reason why they are the treble winners from last season. So
I used to think that Toure was the best ever player I'd ever seen. But I think De Bruyne is quickly coming to match him. And to an extent, Foden as well, watching him on telly, he's just incredible at the moment. It's just really, really scary how good the World Club champions are. And they've got like for like in every position. And it's quality like for like. And bringing youth through. And hopefully Glasner's seen some of the younger players. both playing for other teams who've all got their own injury problems, but also had a chance to have a better look at some of our players as well to see who could fill in these gaps due to hamstring injuries.
Well, at the time of recording, today was the open training session at Selhurst Park for Palace. Saw some comments online about it. Apparently, it was very enjoyable. They didn't really do anything special. It was mostly, you know, one-touch finishing type stuff. But it's nice that the fans got to get there. On an injury note, obviously, Michael Olise was training today, which was good. I heard about that. I didn't hear anything about Jez Rakitić, but I know that he was on the same timetable as Olise, so maybe he'll get in on the bench this week, because, again, my understanding was that Olise had the 50-minute kind of thing for last week, and that this week will be Jez's time. Obviously, Mark Gay is still not available. So as far as players, we will have Edouard back, who was back last week, and Olise, so that's something to look forward to. But on the defensive end, we're going to be struggling. But I want to go to news that broke today from Alex Howe, formerly of Crystal Palace, about Jean-Philippe Mateta. So apparently Glasner is very pleased with how he's been doing this season. Everybody that knows, listen to the show, knows I'm a massive fan of his, happy what he's done so far. But apparently he's going to be offered a new two-year extension on his contract. So I'll go to you first, Nick. What are your thoughts on possibly Mateta's new contract?
I think he deserves it. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who, when he had a dip in form, maybe when the whole team had a dip in form, he looked like he couldn't hit a button door with a banjo. Is that the correct phrase? I don't know anyway. I was thinking we really, really need a new striker. Okay, we really, really do need a new striker. But Mateta has risen to that challenge. He seems to be lasting a bit longer in games as well. He's excellent when he's got lots of players around him. He just seems to find a way out, God knows how. He's almost Bolasie-esque in the way he can get through players, not without the tricks and whatever, but in the way that, how the bloody hell did he do that? But he just does. And he doesn't seem particularly quick when he does it, but he is quite quick, if that makes sense. It's just a shame he never made more on Saturday of that dodgy pass back to the Man City keeper that the commentators creamed over for about 15 minutes afterwards. But yeah, I think it's a very, very good to get him on an extra 2 years. Let's just hope that his form doesn't drop because he's got the extra contract.
Luke, what are your thoughts on Mateta getting a couple more years on his contract?
I have always been a bit heavy criticism on him in terms of like his goal scoring. I've always thought he's been good at holding the ball up and that. I was looking into it actually a bit before this. He's got a contract at the moment until 2026, so that's a couple more seasons already. 7 goals this season, which is much better. But, you know, that's the most he's ever got in the Premier League in a season, you know. We need to see that more consistently. Yes, there's potential there. I'm happy with how he's looking at the moment. Yes, I want him to stay. It's just, I don't know if he needs another bumper contract. I think some strikers need to prove themselves a bit longer in terms of goal scoring to get that. But I'm very happy if he stays, for sure. I just, you know, when we don't seem to have all the money in the world, I don't want us to, you know, be giving players extra wages after like a season of better performances, if you know what I mean.
I definitely understand that. But one thing I will bring out, I know that Glasner's a big advocate of a bigger striker. He had obviously Kolo Muani, who went on to a massive contract or signed him on a free, went to PSG for like 30, 40 million. Also had Wout Weghorst, another kind of tallish striker. So if we were to keep Mateta, then do you think we need to upgrade our second striker? Right now, obviously, it's Edouard. What were your thoughts on maybe Edouard leaving then instead of Mateta?
Luke, he's literally got like a season left after this one, doesn't he? So if you're going to get the money, you're going to have to sell him now. I asked this question to you guys. Do you see Edouard signing a new deal if he's second striker? I personally don't. So if that's the case, we've got to sell him and then get a better second striker in. So then I guess that does leave Mateta as the better one and the number one choice.
Took his goal well, though, didn't he, Luke? The other day, Edouard. Sure.
Yeah.
See, my thought was that lots of Bundesliga clubs were sniffing around after Mateta, according to social media rumours, so we don't know how true or not they are. Does that extra 2 years on his contract bump up a potential transfer fee, even if it was to go in the window, or does it not make a difference if it's 2 years or 4 years left? Because it's still just buying them out of the contract, isn't it?
I think extra years does help, but I don't think, since he does have two more yet, it wouldn't make a difference in this window coming up. It would make more difference, obviously. Once you come to the end of your contract, the less money you're going to get. So it's an interesting point. I just think that it'd be interesting to see whether this goes again. I'm not sure how much, if this will actually happen. I'm a massive fan of his. We definitely need to upgrade in a striker position. I don't know if it will be who that would be. But I think if I was to choose between Edouard and Mateta, based on what I've seen so far from Glasner, I think Mateta fits the system much better than Edouard has. But you're right. Edouard took the goal really well on Saturday, but we just need more of that. So
it's interesting that the German team do seem to like Mateta. Glasner, Dasner likes him. German clubs want to come in for him. So there must be something about him for what he did there pre-Palace. Was it Mainz we got him from, or was that somebody else from Mainz?
It was Mainz. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is an interesting one, isn't it? In terms of Mateta, I think if you're comparing him and Edouard, Mateta definitely offers the most, and we arguably play a bit more to his strengths as like a sole striker on his own. You know, Edouard's a poacher. Is that really what we need with Glasner at the moment? It seems like Mateta's the better option. So yeah, out of the two, I'd definitely be keeping Mateta.
Although I do think Edouard is better at those. If Edouard gets the right balls through, he's a clinical finisher. I'm thinking Fulham away last season, just as an example. So he can take the chances if given them, but they are different types of players. You were talking about Patrick, who you bring in. We need somebody really nippy in the Andy Johnson mould, I think. Although he's very short, and you just said Glasner likes the taller players. But do you know what I mean? Somebody can run in like Watkins or somebody like that. We haven't really got that. I think Mateta's a bit too Bambi on ice when he's running, isn't he?
Well, people were saying that, but did you see the way he took that first goal? I mean, the way he took that goal against City, there was no Bambi on ice about that. But I've heard that comment about him in the past. But I just think that I agree with you. We probably need a different striker. We just need someone that fits Glasner's system. Nippy or not, tall or not, whoever it is. Because again, if you notice how we're playing now, we're trying to get the ball forward a lot quicker. You're more direct, and if that means height, if it means speed, whatever it works for a Glasner system, I'll take it. So moving quickly on, the under 21s played a game on Monday evening at the VBS Stadium. They drew 0-0 versus Everton. The reason I bring it up is because Sean Graham returned from his loan at Carlisle, not very successful, unfortunately. And Frank Auma, who'd been on the first team bench, and Ashley and Mather, we were both in the starting lineup. Just so you guys know, I know that they have that Premier League International Cup game is coming up against the same team. I believe it's Monday or Tuesday, Everton. So keep an eye out for that, because it can be interesting to see just going for the rest of the season, if they get knocked out at tournament, how many of those younger players get to see more first team training minutes.
Is that the semi-final?
It is.
I think it is, isn't it? And who's left? Is it all English teams left? This is, because we played Eindhoven last year, didn't we? And Eindhoven youth were a second division Dutch team, just turned out too strong in extra time, didn't they, with the fitness and whatever.
I actually saw the highlights. They actually beat West Ham yesterday 3-2. They were down 2-0 against West Ham and came back. They're going to be very strong to beat again this season. They're very good. So be interesting. So let's turn our thoughts to the upcoming fixture. Liverpool away. So I don't know how much you guys know about our time versus Mr. Jurgen Klopp. We have not won versus a Klopp team in 19 matches. We have two draws.
Can I just say, can I just castigate you there for using the word versus? It's against. Sorry. Your teacher, Patrick.
What's versus mean then, as opposed to against?
Well, it's all about the different stanzas in poetry. That's what verses are.
So why is it whenever I see a fixture, it says Liverpool and it says VS, which is a short version of versus Palace? Why would that be?
Because,
why is that correct? Why can't I say it?
Because if they put AG for against, they might think you're talking about silver. I don't know.
As opposed to AG for gold, right?
Chemistry teacher joke there. No, I don't know. But When I used to teach PE and so end of the term, little five-a-side football tournament, because there was 30 kids in the class, you could have six teams, mixed teams, boys and girls, and they'd always say, who are we versing next? And that used to wind me up more than anything.
Well, that's totally incorrect. I mean, I can understand that, but I mean, saying Palace versus Liverpool, I'm not being aesthetic. But again, I stand corrected, teacher, current supply teacher, extraordinaire.
Freelance.
As I was saying, freelance teacher. You are a freelance teacher. We have not beaten Jurgen Klopp in 19 attempts. The best we have done are the draws in February 2023, the 0-0, and the 1-1 in August 2022. There's been actually some very, very, very bad matches against Liverpool. Our last game, I was at that game, December, the 2-1 loss. Nick, you were at that game, right? Because I remember we spoke about it because we went to the West Ham game before. What are your thoughts on that game as you remember the game at home against them?
I really can't remember. The games have just merged into one just kind of brown mess before Glasner came. So maybe they might try to wipe it out. But
I'll remind you then.
Doesn't smell too bad.
Mateta penalty. Are you sent off? Too late Liverpool goals. Remember now?
Now, was it the Mateta? Was that the penalty that Mateta took that Munoz wanted to take because he won it?
Not Munoz. Munoz wasn't here yet.
Not Munoz. The Brazilian, Franca.
No, that was against Burnley.
All right, Luke.
But I remember being I remember being in the main stand. He was arguing with someone. I remember he was arguing with someone about the penalty kick. I remember he was, but it wasn't Franca. Someone wanted to take it, and it might have been Edward, because Edward was on the pitch at that time. He was talking to someone, but Joe Ward told him to take the kick, and he took it and scored it. So, but Luke, what do you remember about that game, if anything?
Yeah, I actually do remember that a bit. That was such like a head loss game for me at the end. I couldn't believe what I'd witnessed. I think I did deserve the yellow card, but in that game, Endo did about six of the same fouls, which were literally, that's what made it annoying. And then last minute, I think Alisson Weldy save, or a really good save from like an Anderson header, I want to say. And that could have been 2-2. That could have changed our season a bit. But yeah, one of them ones where we gave it to them very well. But, you know, we just 10 men, it was never going to come through, was it? But yeah, positives to take from that, of course, that we drew them close. But yeah, it's not been a good record, like you said, against them for a while, has it?
It hasn't. I mean, that's the thing. Klopp is, I mean, he's leaving, and that's interesting. But, you know, they're fighting on, what, two more fronts now. Obviously, they've got the Europa League game as of recording Thursday. They're obviously in the title race. Nick, what are your thoughts on facing Liverpool at this time? I mean, the only good thing I think of is they do have a game three or four days before, but they've got such a strong squad. And I will bring it up now. Watching the press conference this morning, I heard that Diogo Jota is going to be back in the squad. So will Alisson. So will Bacic, and so will Alexander Arnold. So they're going to be stronger come Sunday. So what are your thoughts about Liverpool just in general?
Well, that just means they've got the squad depth, doesn't it? And like Man City can swap like for like, because in the past we'd say, oh yeah, they've got a cup game in the week. And now because the squads are so big, they can just pick and choose, can't they? They're in the middle of a title race. And I think that's going to be their big focus, because as much as Klopp lauded in the time he's been there, is it 8-9 years now, something like that? It's been quite a while.
Right, right.
They haven't actually won a lot, have they?
What do you mean?
Well, what compared to other teams like Man City?
He's actually won everything except for the Europa League. He's won the Premier League,
how many times?
League Cup. He won the Premier League 1 year during COVID. He's won the FA Cup. He's won the League Cup at least twice. He's won the Champions League once. And like I just said, he's not won the Europa League yet. So that's what people say, he's focused on Europa League because they haven't won that yet. But he's actually won, much like Pep, basically everything since he's been there.
But not at the volume with the Premier League and whatever. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not won nothing, but
there's only one Pep Guardiola.
If you're putting him up against top managers, I won't pluralize your Alex Ferguson.
He'd be second on your list if you had top managers. You'd have Pep, and you'd have who else next? You'd have Jurgen Klopp. No,
Yeah, but you're about present day. Where would Alex Ferguson come in with that?
No. I'm talking about present day. I don't want to go back to Brian Clough. I mean, I can go back to Brian Clough if you want to.
Luke's thinking, I'm not. I hope I'm not on with these old gits again. I don't know what they're on about.
I was just ready for the debate to go on for an hour there about them two managers. So, yeah.
Yeah. But no, you've probably just shown me up there, Patrick. He has won quite a bit. But I was comparing him to Alex Ferguson and Busby, you know, and he's kind of lauded in no kind of terms, I think, when he actually hasn't quite achieved that yet. That's my point. Anyway, but yeah, look, although Gladner has said if he didn't think he was going to be able to win a game, he might as well go out sightseeing. And there's a lot to see in Liverpool. It's still a free hit.
Don't say that. Don't use that term. I actually want to talk to Luke about that. I found that comment, Luke, very refreshing last week about Glasner and that. But I want to get your thoughts on it. I mean, to have a manager who basically is saying, unlike what Nick has said, it's not a free hit. He's not saying we're definitely going to win, but he's saying we are going out to win. What are your thoughts on just the new attitude that Glasner's bringing towards, not only to the fan base, but obviously to the players?
Yeah, I think it's so nice to hear, of course. And then you want then to actually back it up and him not to just be saying it. And that first half against Man City was really, really good in that sense. It was exactly what he said. It wasn't like we sat back, we took the game to them, passed it quick. It wasn't like our players were being told to pass it around a bit. Wharton, when he saw that, he tried to pass it straight away, got Mateta through. We didn't show fear in that first half. And I think it was always going to be hard to keep up that tempo, that pace. But it did show that what Glasner was saying wasn't just a media comment to try and keep us happy. It's actually what he wants to do. And I think all of that together does just make it so refreshing. Just hope he gets that big summer to work it out, get through the season, you know, get these games like Liverpool. And you never know. Liverpool do concede a lot at home this season. Even if it's only one goal a game, they're still conceding. So never know. Give it a go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Lineup wise, or just changes in general, Nick, do you think that there's a possibility that, I mean, obviously we all know that we are still very limited squad wise again, as of recording, we don't know if there's anybody else coming back into the squad. I don't think that Richards, for instance, is going to be ready. He'd be the only one besides Rucksack who might come into the squad. I don't think anyone else is there, but what do you think, if anything, he should try and change for Liverpool away?
I think he should start Elise and not Eze. Why Eze performs, let's send a message to him and say, sorry, son, you weren't good enough the other day. Other players performed, you didn't. And if you want to get back in this team, you need to start performing, and you can watch them perform and then go on and copy what they're doing.
It's a massive shout, that is. But before I get Luke, I saw Luke's eyes got a lot of when you said that. We all know, we've all seen it. Eze and Olise together are much better than one without the other, even though Olise can play without Eze. Luke, what are your thoughts on Nick's outrageous statement that we should not play Eze on Sunday?
I think, like, I want to explain before I say first, but obviously that City game was not good. I did think the moment he had the ball, City players, three of them were on him. Never going to be good for a player like Eze, who does need a bit more time, than Olise, who kind of can react quickly. Bournemouth again, I think Eze controlled the ball too much, took too much time on the ball, so hasn't been good them last two games. However, my issue is actually more with Ayew at the moment. I think I'd want Eze. You can't drop Eze in terms of attacking ability. And in my opinion, Ayew hasn't been doing the defensive work as much lately, as well as he has in the past. I think the second goal City got, Akanji was allowed to run for 20 yards, basically, from left back, and Ayew was kind of jogging back. I thought the Forest goal, again, it came from that. The player, Gibbs White, is just able to kind of run a little bit, and it's kind of Ayew's man. And I don't know. I think Ayew hasn't been as great under Glasner as he has before. And for me, I'd definitely be dropping Ayew over Eze any day of the week, because I just think Eze can turn it on any minute.
Fair point.
I want to go back to the Man City match, because as much as we all know how great of a manager Pep Guardiola is, he 100% targeted our right side. Jack Grealish and Kevin De Bruyne had a field day. Everyone go back once again. I love Daniel Munoz. Well, go back. All four goals were on Munoz's side, he tried to play, he got beat four times by Grealish or De Bruyne for the goals. So we obviously have limited options in our back three. It's Ward, Lerma, and Anderson. Would you guys think of making any changes to our back four plus? I wouldn't say go to back four, sorry, to our back five, meaning would you maybe try Tompkins back there in lieu of Lerma, put Lerma back in midfield? Would you try someone else at right back? I just want to get your feeling on, Nick, what are your thoughts on maybe trying something different in our back five? Would you just keep it the same?
Was Rob Holding at the training session today? Asking for a friend. No.
You know what? The last time I saw Rob Holding was last week. As you guys know, they had a fan fest in America for the Premier League. And it was in Nashville, Tennessee. And apparently, Rob Holding's a big Nashville music fan. And apparently he was there. So my last signing of Rob Holding was in Nashville, Tennessee in America. So I don't think he's playing Saturday. Yeah, that's what you asked. Or Sunday, sorry. But go ahead.
So he's holding the back line dancing then, if he liked Nashville. Sorry.
Famous puns. Thank you. There we go.
You like that one, Patrick.
That was actually decent. That wasn't bad.
Yeah. Can Riedewald fit into this kind of system or be named, or is he completely out the door now?
Do you know
also,
what?
I just want to go back to what we were saying about Ayew and Eze. Do you remember when Eze's form had dropped off and then Roy came back and suddenly he was on fire and Ayew was on fire again? What kindly words do you think Roy was saying to Eze and Ayew to get the performance out of them that perhaps Gladner's not with a different management style?
No, I'll tell you what. Hey, son, we're playing Leicester, Southampton, Leeds. They're all getting relegated. Do your best. That's what he said to them last year. You're playing Man City, Liverpool, and Bournemouth. So I'm not having that, Nick. I'm not having this. He got more out of him last year. Last year, the fixtures were not as difficult as these ones. So, but anyway, sorry, continue. I don't want to get into this Roy comment. I'll get slandered on this podcast.
So no, I was just wondering about Riedewald, because he hasn't been bad when he's made cameo appearances.
He hasn't
torn up trees either, but
he's injured.
He's done his job.
He's injured. I mean, he came in from Ajax. He actually played in the back three. Ajax, he would have been perfect for this system, I think, but he's been injured. So I haven't heard anything. He's going to be back anytime soon. So unfortunately, he's not even an option. But
because he's not appeared because I had a look on the transfer market and other sites for lists of injuries, and he's not actually down there.
He's definitely injured. I mean, you're right. No one asks during the presses about Riedewald or Holding for some strange reason. It's assumed they're not coming back anytime soon. It's like asking about Ferguson. Who, by the way, didn't play on Monday, funny enough. So he might be back in the first team. But the last time I saw about, I mean, I know, weird subject to bring up, but Ferguson actually has played the last two under 21 matches and got through them pretty decently. So he might be back in there. He might be in the first team squad. So not that I'm saying he'll play Sunday. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that he's actually hopefully on the road to recovery. So anyway, so we've spoken about Liverpool, our thoughts on the fixture. We might go to predictions. I'll start with you, Luke, what do you think about prediction for Sunday's match?
God, that's a hard one. Liverpool off the back of a United draw. It'd be interesting to see how they do at Atlanta, but you know, they're gunning for the league. They need that win. I'm going to say, I'm going to say 2-2. I'm just feeling something about this Glasner formation. That first half of City, if we can carry it on, cause an upset, it's got to come soon, doesn't it, guys? So I'm going to say that.
Love that. Nicholas, what about you?
Yeah, I'm thinking when Luke said that, I thought there's got to be a moment that it all clicks, hasn't there? Do you know what I mean? It's just going to really gel and really click. But yeah, I still think it'd be 3-1 Liverpool. But it might not be that game. But as I've said on every show, we always get a shock result in a season. We haven't had one this season, really, have we, against one of the big teams?
We've had two, both in Manchester, 2-2 Man City and 1-0 Man United. As bad as they are, but United at Old Trafford is a big
thing. But at the time, that wasn't a shock result, was it? Because Man United were pants at that time.
How are they now? Are they better now?
Worse.
They've been pants all season, but yeah. So Luke's gone 2-2, Nick's gone 3-1 Liverpool. I'm more in as much as I'd like to be more positive, I would be if we had some defensive help. I just don't think Lerma, Ward, and Anderson can handle, whether it's Diaz, Nunez, Jota, God forbid Jota again diving in the box for a penalty, or anyone else. So I'm actually going to go 2-1 Liverpool. I'm going to try and keep the score. We need to keep our goal difference down. I'll go 2-1 Liverpool. And again, like I said, I've got that. The 19 games, never beaten Klopp. I can't see us doing it now. It'll be great. And I'm with you, both of you. I'd love to get that upset special on Sunday, but I just don't see it. I'm just hoping that once we get past this last fixture, for me, the hardest one of the run-in, and we get to the West Hams and Fulhams of the world, Nick, like that, we'll do a little better. But thank you guys both for joining me today. Again, Luke, do you have anywhere we can catch you on any kind of socials?
I'm just on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Luke_Seisha. And yeah, that's me.
Great. So for me, Patrick, Nick, and Luke, appreciate everybody for listening. And until next time, up the Palace.
Here goes.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.